Hello, lovers. Welcome back to another Globetrotter Quickie with yours truly, Cassie Martinez. A solo female traveler with a knack for finding the party and love, I have been in these international streets catching flights and feelings since my first solo trip in 2017. And you best believe I've got the wild stories and WhatsApp screenshots to prove it. For today's quickie, I thought I'd dig into my Globetrotter memory vault and share with you guys one of my wildest travel dating stories so far. To set the scene, this wild story takes place in Barcelona, where I am on my first solo trip abroad and knee-deep in a Tinder bender. And could you blame me? I had just discovered the magic that was dating apps abroad, and I was feeling like a kid in a candy store. Over the course of my week in Barcelona, my swiping habit had escalated from time to time into a full-blown addiction. One night over dinner at the hostel, I had even revamped some of my new hostel friends' Tinder profiles. That totally counts as charity, right? During my time in Barcelona, I would spend my days searching for the best tapas in town and end my nights typically indulging in a Tinder nightcap. I would swipe feverishly from my bunk bed, determined to match with every smoldering Spaniard I scrolled across. And as you can guess, Barcelona had a lot of them. This led to kissing a lot of frogs, or at least meeting them for a drink. The Tinder bender began with Romain, a Frenchman living in Barcelona who proactively had introduced himself by sliding into my DMs on Instagram. Note: this only works if you're as sexy as Romain. The two of us met up for questionably strong margaritas in the dark and windy alleys of Barcelona's Gothic Quarter, and I was smitten immediately. His unkempt hair, his sexy stubble, and that thick French accent had me so smitten, in fact, that I totally missed the fact that he just wasn't that into me. 3 or 4 margs and some very French kissing later, Romain ended up literally disappearing after excusing himself to the bathroom while we were dancing at one of my favorite clubs, Jamboree. Ah, the good old-fashioned grind and ditch. Needless to say, I was shook. But instead of shaking me off Tinder, I doubled down. It was during a night out at Oveja Negra, a jam-packed sangria spot, that I took things up a notch. Or 12. Enter Giovanni. Giovanni was this gorgeous Sicilian skateboarder, with whom I didn't waste time with pleasantries when we matched. Upon reading my demure and tasteful message telling him to come make out, G skated over to the bar I was at, and the rest is history. Over the next few days, Giovanni and I fell in travel love. You know the kind. I popped back into my hostel here and there, primarily to shower and reapply deodorant, but spent most of my time with G. Smell you later, bunkmates. Your girl was booed up. And while I may be a romantic at heart, I'm still a realist. No matter how great Giovanni was at making me pasta in bed, the fact of the matter was he lived 6,000 miles away and was still very much in love with his ex. So, let's just say I was keeping my options open. Fast forward to my last night in Barcelona. I had envisioned a night for myself filled with a questionable amount of tequila and dancing until the sun came up. But Giovanni had other plans. And who could blame him? I was on my eat, pray, love tip, and he had class in the morning. In my defense, Tuesday is a perfectly normal day of the week to dance on a table when you're in vacay mode. Okay? What follows can only be prefaced with, it seemed like a good idea at the time. So, because I am the type of gal who likes to have her cake and eat it too, I ended up double booking my last night with back-to-back dates. Okay, stop. I can feel your bombastic side eye from here. The plan was to meet up with Giovanni for one last night of pretending he was my boyfriend before switching things up and hitting up a discoteca with a dusted-off Tinder match that was down to dance. What could go wrong? As the double date got closer, I grew anxious. A covert plan of this thoughty nature required commitment, and I still couldn't even commit to the shoe I wanted to wear. sneaker for the walk, or heels for the club. Ugh. The first half of the evening went off without a hitch. Despite the insane self-sabotage at play, I was finding myself really enjoying G and I's last night together, being cute and cuddly in front of the MACBA Museum. That was until I fucked everything up. The fatal flaw occurred when I asked Giovanni how to get to the bar that I was meeting date number two at. See, I had told him I was going dancing, but fibbed about with who, saying instead that I was meeting up with folks from the hostel. And, well, being the stand-up skater that he is, G insisted on walking me to the bar. Cue the internal screaming. As we got closer to our destination, G and I made several pit stops for gum, Kleenex, anything that bought me time. But eventually, I accepted my horrific, self-induced situation and trudged on. This was gonna be messy. With my heart in my stomach, we turned the corner and there he was, date number two, waiting for me outside the bar, smoking a cigarette. In those crucial next few seconds, several things transpired. One, I realized date number two was much shorter than me. Two, I quickly lied to Giovanni that date number two was just some dude from the hostel. Yes, I know I'm going to hell. Three, I quickly introduced my two dates and dragged Giovanni inside, as far away from each other as I could muster. In that awkward moment, I realized this very well may be the last time I'd see Giovanni. Even though we were just casual from the start, there's something special about a travel romance. I was gonna miss him, and his six-pack. With one eye trained on date number two, who was standing outside and, thanks be to God, facing the opposite direction, I kissed G goodbye, but not before telling him to keep his ringer on when he went to bed. You know, just in case. Once Giovanni was out of sight, I collected date number two on the sidewalk. Bless his soul, Jean was still smoking that cigarette, a bit bewildered, but still very down for the discoteca. Jean was a very French creative director visiting from Paris, who admitted that when he swiped right on me, had wanted to see what all the fuss about American women was about. I towered over him in sneakers and felt zero sparks between us, but I had committed. And the more mojitos I sipped, the tinier the urge to go to the bathroom and never come back became. So, at least there was that. After a couple of rounds, we made our way to Macarena Club. Hidden in a nondescript alleyway and behind two sets of soundproof doors, the teeny tiny discoteca has a capacity of just 80 people, and is home to one of Barcelona's best dance floors. Basically, I was on cloud nine. I came down to earth slightly as Jean repeatedly tried to grind up behind me with the top of his head just brushing past my shoulders. As I did my best to avoid Jean's persistent Parisian hips, I realized I should have done the Macarena alone that night. All that to say, when Jean wasn't chasing me down the dance floor, he was a pretty nice guy. After consuming as much alcohol as we had, conversation flowed easily between us, and we made fast friends with some other party animals, including a very drunk girl who really wanted to make out with the both of us. At once. And, well, the best and worst part about going clubbing in sneakers is your feet never really start to hurt, whereas clubbing in heels usually leads to calling a night early and taking two Tylenol before bed. Overall, partying in shoes designed for you to run marathons in basically means there's a chance you're going to party until the sun comes up. Which I did. It wasn't until 5 in the morning that Jean and I found ourselves saying goodbye on Las Ramblas. Turns out, Jean's lips were just as persistent as his hips, and he tried his darndest to sneak a kiss goodbye. Well, I tried my darndest to subtly sneak a text to Tinderfella number one to set up a rendezvous. And, well, seeing as it was 5 a.m. on a school night, G, unsurprisingly, didn't answer. But, by the grace of God, his apartment was right next to the club. Ever the welcoming host, after rubbing the sleep out of his eyes, G gladly opened his doors to me, which led to me totally oversleeping past checkout at the hostel. But, not to worry. Your girl had thought ahead. See, before I had left that fateful night before, I may or may not have totally bribed the hostel manager with a 5-star review on Hostelworld in exchange for letting me check out just a teeny bit late, aka 3 p.m. And as a bit of a fun update, years later, I ended up blogging about this wild night on my friend's travel blog, and I totally neglected to change the first name of date number one in my story. Yeah, I probably should have done that, right? Well, as you can now guess, Giovanni is not date number one's real name, but instead a pseudonym to protect his identity. That is because Giovanni messaged me out of the blue months after the blog went live, telling me that a friend had read my story and recognized him based off my description. To his credit, Giovanni was super cool about the situation. He politely asked me to change his name and even threw in a, "Hope you're well." See, that's my man, who wasn't really my man, but was my man. Mm-hmm. Love you, boo. Woof. So there you have it, you guys. One of my wildest travel stories ever. And I've got to say, reliving my antics from 5 years ago just now has me exhausted. I think I need a nap. And no shade to younger Cassie, who was addicted to swiping. Girl, get your life. But I've got to say, I have loved the transition away from the apps and instead to more organic meetings IRL when traveling. These days, I'm all about less force and embracing more flow. You know, like one date a day. But if you do find yourself wanting some tips on optimizing that Bumble or Tinder profile of yours before a big trip, you know who to DM. Until next time, I'm Cassie Martinez.